The ink of Marvel Comics does more than inspire movies and relate fantastic tales. Comic books, graphic novels, and superhero movies can inspire serious examinations of our moral systems. That's what psychology professors and Marvel fans Eric Wesselman and Scott Jordan have done in the new book, Captain America vs. Iron Man, Freedom, Security, Psychology. It's a collection of essays, and the two professors collaborated on a chapter called Wild Heroes, The Hard Work of Being Moral, which delves into the hard choices our superheroes make. Jordan says Marvel works are modern mythological tales told in a different format, stories that can present moral conundrums for the characters and readers. Wesselman notes that comic books and other pop culture provide ample fodder for psychological exploration of morality. The two professors were attending WizardCon in Chicago recently and met editor Travis Langley, who was holding a panel on the psychology of The Walking Dead. Soon thereafter, an invitation was issued.
He was working on this other book at the time, so he emailed us and said, you know, hey, we've got room for a chapter on this other book that's moving quickly. You like comics. I imagine you'd want to be in. Do you want to be? And I think the first email I sent back was yes, and that was it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the second one, 30 seconds later, was a little bit more composed. So
it seems like a dream come true that you can combine your love of comics with your love of psychology.
It's exciting to be able to say things that we usually say to other scholars in a medium more accessible to the public. And I think that's one thing that Travis does really well about these books is they are psychology topics that use popular culture themes as a way to teach the public about psychology.
So you address morality with regards to Captain America Civil War in your chapter. What are you trying to get us to understand and see in these characters who are facing these interesting moral decisions? First of all, tell me about the moral decisions the characters are facing and your analysis.
Well, the
you do Iron Man and I'll do Cap. You do Iron Man and I'll do Cap.
So Scott is Captain America. Eric, you're Iron Man.
Depends on the day.
Okay.
We can switch the roles.
Yeah,
if
there you go.
Like.
The way that the story is often presented in the, for example, like with the movie posters and stuff is, you know, freedom versus security. I mean, that's also what was a part of the book title. And that's a real big crux of them. They're facing lots of moral issues. But one of the biggest ones is that, what are their roles as heroes? What are their responsibilities as heroes to the people they're protecting? You know, it's not just fighting the villain, you know, and then going home and having a coffee or whatever.
You have a metal arm? That is awesome, dude! You have the right to remain silent!
When the gods fight, the, you know, mortals suffer, and there's collateral damage. And to what degree do they have to own that? Or should they own that? And that's a big thing that they struggle with throughout that entire story arc.
Yeah, and the federal government tries to get them to have to register with the federal government as superheroes. And so Tony Stark as Iron Man sees this as a necessary next step for superheroism, and Captain America refuses, given the kind of character he is. He takes seriously the risks and suffering of the heroes and considers the Registration Act a sort of betrayal of the commitment that people like Captain America have given to the culture.
You're not gonna stop.
You know I can't.
I'm gonna regret this.
That central tension between should they register with the government or not is what drives the story.
And if I may piggyback on that, part of, you know, Captain America's backstory is that, you know, he was a soldier during World War II. And so one of the points he makes in one of his side stories that tie in is that he also doesn't like the fact that part of what he thinks is that superheroes should sort of be a force onto themselves to be able to make their own judgments as a community and not be told what to do, who the bad person is and who the good person is, right? Because that's great if the people in charge of them have society's best interests at heart, but being as he is from the World War II era, he knows what happens when there is a government in charge that doesn't necessarily have society's best interests.
Stark tell you anything else?
That you're wrong? You think you're right? It makes you dangerous.
And to bring it home in a more contemporary context, we're dealing with the issue of freedom versus security right now as a culture. And the advantage of these these comic books is that younger and older people who are reading this sorts of material suddenly get engaged in this conversation in a fairly deep way, I'd argue. And with a little coaching from certain people, they might see the parallels to contemporary social issues. I think that's extremely valuable.
Are the Marvel superheroes, are these Marvel superheroes, are their morals set in stone, or do their morals shift as the story goes on, as they interact with each other and argue and literally fight with one another? I mean, do we see the fact that they can actually see the other's point of view? Maybe their point of view is shifting.
That's the arc, is that they do go through changes, and they regret some sacrifices they made in the name of certain moral choices. Two main characters specifically do end up changing. In the comic, Captain America actually surrenders because the violence being generated in the name of his commitment to his moral code outweighs the good he thinks he's doing. And Tony Stark ends up very much lamenting the choices he made. I don't want to give up too many spoilers.
Right, right. Yeah.
But really bad things happen to certain people close to Tony Stark, and he ends up saying it wasn't worth it.
And Captain America's sort of change of heart line is great when actually their side is winning at
right.
that point in time. And, you know, as Scott said, Captain America looks around and sees all of the damage and all of the people suffering, and he stops and he says, you know, we're winning everything but the argument, you know. And so he surrenders, knowing full well that that means that he is now not just a prisoner, but he will likely be executed for treason.
Right.
Are we seeing moral relativism here in the Marvel Universe?
That's a really good question. Are we seeing moral relativism in Marvel or in our own universe?
Well, probably both.
I mean, one of the themes of our chapter is we propose a contemporary view on what we would call morality. We might be accused of moral relativism, and we've actually put that in a paper we published in 2017, that some may be dissatisfied with our approach to morality, assuming it to be moral relativism. But I believe I'm speaking for Eric. You can tell me if I am not. But
jump in, Iron Man, if you like.
Exactly. I think we look at the phenomenon we call morality as a multi-scale phenomenon, people struggling to negotiate social relationships in real time, all the time. And so we like to consider every moment of human interaction a sort of management moment of multiple scales of the individual value, of dyad values, group values, culture values, and all of that is having its impact every moment. And we think that's an important way to start to look at morality.
It's very demanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do we make it through a single day with all that?
You make sure you don't get around the people that bother you.
I think rather than moral relativism, perhaps a better phrase to sort of get at what you're talking about is moral complexity, right? And so, yes, we are constantly navigating these different roles and these different expectations that others have for us than we have for ourselves. And one of the thrusts of most psychological views of morality is that when we adopt a moral framework, no matter what that framework is, once we finally learn and adopt it, we begin to sort of treat it as if it's intuitive, as if
a given,
yeah, so no moral discussions need to be held because this is right and this is wrong. And that's something that everybody does, once again, regardless of their worldview. But life is not that simple. And what happens when we inevitably run into a conflict where we have to do something or say something that, you know, conflicts with our values, or we endorse two values that conflict with one another.
Yes.
Right. And so, you know, we might call that cognitive dissonance, or the moral psychologists call that specific application moral dissonance, and it's unpleasant. And when it involves morality, it's really unpleasant.
You coin a term in your chapter, wild systems theory.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expand on that, Scott?
It's a different way of conceptualizing what I would call psychological functionality, how we do what we do. Traditional nomenclature is that we perceive, we think, and we act, and those are the sort of conceptual tools we bring to describing how we do what we do. And wild systems is an attempt to look at us more as living systems instead of computers, and looking at how living systems have to continuously engage their context at multiple levels in order to sustain themselves. And so when we look at a wild system, then would be a system that is sustaining itself in multiple scales continuously very well. So it doesn't mean out of control at all. It means massively embedded, massively engaged with context. And so calling something wild morality is a way of talking about the very hard work of being a good person every day And one could say it's simply have your ideas fixed and then stick to it. One could also say it's navigating multiple scales of social constraint every day, every moment.
What can the characters from the Marvel Universe teach us about how to interact with each other with so many clashes of different moral views today? What can we learn from Iron Man and Thor and Captain America?
I would say that we learn from, in the Civil War arc, we learn from a lot of their mistakes. Very early on, they kind of pay lip service to try to see each other's side, but it very quickly devolves into name-calling and literal fistfights. There are moments where the characters try to reach across the aisles and do somewhat succeed, but then something happens to, you know, throw it all into a fight again. There was one single issue that Marvel did called What If, and it's sort of like a hypotheticals universe, and they showed different ways that Civil War, the story, could have ended. So it's a choose your own adventure, so to speak. And I didn't take my finger off that page. I don't like that ending. There actually was a happy ending, and that really did involve Captain America and Iron Man swallowing their pride, actually listening to each other, and finding a way to find a truce. It wasn't easy, but it managed. But yeah, it obviously their main arc didn't end that way. So
I think that the characters in Civil War could actually serve to remind the American public about what our democracy is, which is a struggle among values, a persistent, never-ending struggle among values instead of among right and wrong. And I sense a certain collapse into binaries in our culture politically in the past 30 years, and the revitalization of a respectable struggle among values wouldn't be a bad thing. It's kind of ironic that the moral struggles I see in this comic book are much more sophisticated than the rhetoric I hear in nightly news. Those who are bashing comic books may want to do a rhetorical comparison of the themes being addressed by these characters and the complexity of their struggles versus the complexity of the rhetoric being used in our own political discussions.
Tell me about the reception so far of the book, Captain America versus Iron Man, Freedom, Security, and Psychology. So how does the Comic-Con set appreciate what you guys have been doing?
Well, we got to sign autographs. That was awesome.
Are you kind of becoming sort of celebrities?
Not yet. It was weird. We did two panels. Or Eric did three panels. We did a Star Trek, Star Wars panel, and then we did a Civil War panel the next day. I don't remember how many people there were at the Star Trek, Star Wars panel, but there were four or five times the number of people at the Civil War panel. It was a standing room only.
Why? Why do you think that?
Well, the contemporary movie. But the questions these people had were about morality. And was this person right doing this? Weren't they wrong? And then there were a lot of pseudo-psychologists in the audience, you know, diagnosing various characters and stuff. But it was this amazing forum of people wanting to discuss what is morality and using these characters as tools. And it was an absolute blast. And it was thrilling.
That's Scott Jordan and Eric Wesselman, Illinois State University professors of psychology and authors of Wild Heroes, The Hard Work of Being Moral, in the new collection of essays entitled Captain America versus Iron Man, Freedom, Security, Psychology, from Sterling Books. I'm Laura Kennedy.